Welcome back to Recovering From Everything. As you know, unless this is your first time listening to this podcast, this is a podcast for everyone who has had anything happen to them ever. I have a really fun one today. The episode is called How to Lose Everything Gracefully. I think that's what I called it. If not, I'll go back and change the title because that is a great title. I had my friend Christine on. We've been trying to do a podcast for a while, but I'm very much like an energetic, go with the flow person. The caveat to that is when I don't have a death grip on the reins of my life and I am controlling every single aspect of it, I do have a very go with the flow attitude. Anyways, the flow was that us recording this podcast didn't ever really align. Like the timing was off. We kind of toyed with it. I was like, yeah, we should totally do that. And then it just like didn't happen. And finally, a few weeks ago, we were like, all right, we're doing it. Christine had just announced that she was leaving her position as the, I think her job title is like executive director. I don't know. She basically runs shit in our town and our neighboring town. She is the, again, I'm going to say it, executive director, maybe, of the Chamber of Commerce in town. And so she and I met a couple years ago when I like officially launched my business. And we had a beautiful connection immediately. And we've had a very beautiful, supportive, very like authentic connection ever since. So she's leaving her job. She lost 90 billion pounds. And when COVID hit, she also lost her business that she'd been running for over 20 years. And at some point in all of this, she also lost her mom that she'd been caring for about 20 years. So lots and lots and lots of loss. Not to say that this episode is heavy at all. In fact, it's more an episode about how to bounce back, how to accept this new version of your life, and how to kind of awkwardly transition into the person, the woman that you are becoming. So it's a really fun episode. Buckle up, because we're talking to the car lady. Let's go.
So I've only ever worked for myself since I was 27. I started this company, right? So this is my 26th year in business. And when COVID hit, I was like, what am I going to do now, right? And I took a panic job.
What happened with your business in COVID, though? Yeah. Like, exactly.
So what happened was March 13th, 2020. We had
a day that lives in infamy.
150 clients, a full year of seminars booked, and 5 employees. And March 14th, I had nothing because they had shut everything off.
Yep.
And it was sort of, like I said to you when we were speaking earlier, if when something is taken from me, I'm like a duck. I paddle beautiful. I'm on the water on top. I'm very cool. But underneath, my feet were going like hell. And I thought, listen, I've rolled with the punches before. We got through our N1N1. We got through SARS.
Yes.
Seminars kept going. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I didn't realize the catastrophe of it. And I didn't realize that I would lose everything within 3 weeks. And I actually shut the phone off for a while because I couldn't handle any more of the rejection. My business has tended, you know, and you're an entrepreneur a lot. My stuff has been built around, like we were talking about earlier, ego. And so what happened was when I lost everything, I kind of went into a depression because not only did I lose my business, but a lot of my identity was built into who, what I did.
Yeah.
As a person,
yes.
Right? What do I do? Applause. You know what I mean? It's not very often you have a job where people clap when you're finished.
I hear you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then I went from making deals to making meals. I became a housewife. And I was like, I don't make meals. I make money. Like, what's happening here? How is this?
Yeah.
How is this my life? But you know, really, my doctor said that COVID could have been the best thing that ever happened to me.
Why?
Because I was working myself into a heart attack. I was working on everything, holding on so tight and wanting world domination and every client and every deal that I would say yes to absolutely everything to your point, working 24 hours a day, thinking about your business,
yeah.
that eventually I had to start taking stock of who I am, what I want, and what I need. And so realistically, for my physical health, COVID may have been the best thing that ever happened to me.
What, looking back now, what do you think you needed? Because you didn't know you needed anything, right? You were on this like very great success train.
Yeah, for me, I was very money driven. Got to have all the clients, got to have all this.
Why is that?
And then I realized that when COVID hit, that most of my things that I had done or experienced were mostly driven by ego.
Tell me why that's bad.
Why the ego thing is bad?
Yeah, right? Like we're all like, oh,
I don't know if it's
ego
bad.
This and ego that.
I don't know
but...
if it's bad. I don't know if it's good.
Yeah.
But it gives you another sense of identity. If you don't know who you are, you'll turn your career into your entire life.
Yeah.
Right? I had raised a daughter. I had taken care of a mother for 20 years. I had a husband. I was mother, daughter, sister, friend.
Yeah.
I didn't really have an identity other than the car lady.
Car lady,
which
yeah.
Which my company was called. I didn't really have an identity over and above that. And so I thrived on it. I needed it to feed that ego piece. And
yeah.
then when all that, when the applause went away, the money shut off, I had to figure out who I am without that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that begs the question,
mm-hmm.
who are you?
Yeah, who am I? That's a great question. You know, I'm turning 55 this month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I feel for the first time that I'm really getting, I feel like I'm at the beginning of my life.
Oprah says life begins at 50.
And I think 50 is fun, 55 is chic. That's what I'm going with.
Yes.
Yeah, turning 55 is chic.
Yeah,
because,
double digit.
Yeah, my daughter's 26, turning 27 this year. I've been with my husband now for 17 years. I have money in the bank and the luxury to choose what I want to do now. My mom passed away a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have no one to care for but myself
mm-hmm.
for the first time in my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's just, if I want to go to Scotland next week, I can go. If I want to, and I booked a trip with my best friend to go to Scotland in May. Because I said to her,
Hi.
We've been talking about this shit for 4 years. We don't go. We're never going. Let's book some tickets.
Yeah.
And we did. Enough is enough. Like, I've made my money. I saved what I earned. It's time to live.
Why didn't you go to Scotland earlier?
You said spent the money.
Why not?
Because I grew up, the way I grew up, I believed I was one client away from the bus stop all the time.
Yeah.
That's right. So ego, right? Oh my God, she's so amazing. Oh my God, she can do everything. Christine will do it. Let's trusty Christine, right? Let's rely on Christine.
Yeah.
And always, you know, I grew up in a home where, you know, you picked up the phone, you never know if you were going to get a dial tone. And so I worked so hard because I wouldn't say no to money.
Yeah.
And then I realized, shit, I got enough money. And I didn't figure that out till 55.
Yeah.
But that's why 55 can be chic because let's get honest, Kinga, I've only got 25 good trips around the sun left. How do I want to spend them? It's not working a 9-to-5.
Yes.
Right? It's doing what I want to do on my terms now, and that's what I have the luxury of doing. And and I never really got clear about that also until I quit drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk to me about that because I feel like our discussion around figuring out who you are without Car Lady and
mm-hmm.
then taking that job of 9-to-5, mm-hmm. which, I mean, you were great at, really,
yeah.
but maybe it wasn't necessarily as true to you.
Again, it was, you know, I needed a place to call home.
I
was sitting at home languishing. It was the word I used during COVID.
Yeah.
I wasn't sad, mad, or unhappy. I was just languishing. I was sort of in the void. The chamber gave me a place to go.
Yeah.
The chamber gave me a purpose.
And people
to see and accolades to claim. And I remember the first day I started the job, I said to my colleague who was sort of running the office, how many new members was my predecessor getting? And she said, you know, one or two a month. And I said, well, I'm going to get a new member every week. And she said, well, I don't think you can do it. And I said, well, hold my beer.
Right.
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
And so it became all about the numbers. We are now the largest chamber per capita in Ontario.
Oh, that's so
under
cool.
Under my leadership. Yeah.
Let me clap for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I love that sales, driven. How can I help you today? How can I help you today? Right. And now we're so much more out in the community. I mean, look at you, for example.
Yeah.
You only became a chamber member because somebody asked you to.
Yes.
Right? You probably, there's never on your radar has somebody not come to you and said, this is what the chamber can do for you and your business.
Well, and that was you.
Would you like to join us?
You called me. It's Christine from the chamber. I'm like, what the fuck's the chamber?
Right? What's that got to do with me?
And even that, it was, I think Sarah had reached out to me from Remind.
Love her.
To be like, you know, you're starting your new business. I just quit my job. And she's like, you're starting your new business. Want to do a presentation. And I was like, okay, sure. So I like whipped up this presentation, fucking got COVID, and then had Sarah read it. And you were there that night. Yeah, yeah. And then you called me and you were like, you're a new business. Why don't I know you? Basically.
Right, right.
And here I am.
And here you are.
Who are you based on your work in the chamber?
You mean who am I in my team?
No, you as Christine.
Yeah, I think I'm a champion.
A champion.
Of business. I always like on my business card, they asked me what I wanted it to say. And I said, I wanted to say Christine Mitchell, architect of opportunity.
A champion and architect of opportunity.
Made up my own business title. Yeah. I believe that there is a way to help you move forward. Because I started my company, The Car Lady, 26 years ago with a used briefcase, $300, and flyers that I made on Windows 97 at my library.
Yeah.
I had nothing.
Yeah.
Right? I know what it takes to get from there to there.
Who are you according to The Car Lady?
Oh, that's a great question. At least I don't feel like I am the car lady anymore. See, even my logo for the car lady was a cartoon of me. Yeah. I'm letting the car lady be her own identity now, and I'm Christine Mitchell. Right?
And when
I'm letting
did
Christine
that...
Mitchell, the girl you can count on, the great teacher, the fun person, the accountable person lead. And not just this idea. Because I never thought the car lady would last this long. I thought the novelty of a woman who knew a lot about cars would wear off by the time I hit about 35. And I'd be 55.
Yep.
Apparently hasn't worn off yet. So there's something in that.
When did the distinction happen between Christine and car lady?
I got really honest with myself after COVID.
Yeah.
After COVID, I got really honest about who am I if I'm not the car lady?
Yes.
Right?
Huge.
If I'm not getting, you know, selling deals and getting clients and running shows and running everything and micromanaging, who am I when I sit in my silence?
And what were you left with?
I am a really introverted, quiet person, truly.
Same. Yeah.
When I'm at home... When I'm by myself, there's no happier place for me than on my couch by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's on, it's on. But I know how to shut it off now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Removing car lady from your life in COVID.
Yeah.
What were you left with? You're introverted, but what else?
Well, I wasn't taking very good care of myself physically.
Okay.
Right? I was the fat, funny friend.
Ugh.
Right? So when I'm out, I'm life of the party.
Yeah.
And then when I go home, I'm just like, right? So it's funny because I used to come home from Car Lady. I'd be all dressed in what I call my Car Lady clothes, which is pink and black.
I was right? Like, tell me it's a pink pantsuit.
Yeah. I have a couple of pink pantsuits, but I'd be in like my Car Lady clothes. And so I'd come home, I'd kiss my husband, I'd go back in, I go Car Lady deactivate. And I come out with these track pants on, and my husband would be like, well, there she's gone.
Yes.
She's you've got to let her go, right? The persona of that.
I could not love more that you are in a sweatsuit right now.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fuzzy socks, the whole thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm like, we don't put on real clothes in this house.
No. Who am I without the, like...
So you were the fat, funny friend,
I was the
which
fat, funny
stabs
friend, yeah.
me in the heart to hear someone call themselves that, but
listen,
I understand what you mean.
I didn't take care of myself physically.
Yeah.
Right? I was in August of 2022. That's when I started the journey.
Yes.
And I had decided to get very real because getting real with yourself takes a level of honesty that most people are not prepared for.
It's very humbling.
Very humbling. So when I use alcohol, what am I getting out of it? When I'm sneaking food, what am I getting out of it? When I'm overeating and binge eating, what am I getting out of it? Like, how have I gotten myself to this point? But I was, here's what happened. I was an August morning. I walked down with my dog to the beach and I couldn't get back up the hill. I was literally gasping. I was 53 years old. I was gasping. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
I was on medication for high blood pressure,
yeah,
cholesterol, hiatal hernia. Oh, I was like, this has got to end. Like, it's got to end. And so I phoned my doctor and he said, you know, and I'd been on a Glumetzin for blood sugar, mm-hmm, because I am an addict for sugars and carbohydrates.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
doubt about it.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, he goes, how are you doing? I go, well, I'm really fat. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to start you on Ozempic. And so I started that journey. And, but I took it very seriously. Like, and so now I've, it took me 16 months, but I lost 100 pounds.
And jeez, Louise.
And I quit drinking. And I'm so clear now, it's not even funny.
Reflecting now, what is your relationship with food and with alcohol? And what do they have in common?
They're different, right? My relationship with food had been built around a bit of sneakiness, right? Like, I'd gotten so big, but most people didn't know it because I kind of carried it well and I'm kind of tall.
Mm-hmm.
But I hid a lot of food and I ate a lot of food privately,
mm-hmm,
right? Filling that space.
Mm-hmm.
But alcohol was always a means to party, right? Like, I didn't drink alcohol at home. I only drank when I was out, but I did drink to excess when I was out.
Yeah.
I was a social drinker. Yeah. For sure. Right?
I was on my group coaching call with my women earlier today. We were talking about, like, the stories we tell ourselves and, mm-hmm, the stories we tell about, for example, well, alcohol makes me more social. Mm-hmm. It makes me more fun. Mm-hmm. It makes me more interesting, curious, talkative, whatever.
Right.
And if we were to look at that story and then look at evidence that supports that story, it starts to break down a little bit because it's like, okay, sure, you're fun, talkative, and social, but what about the next day? Can you remember the conversations, mm-hmm, you had? Do you really feel like you made, like, real connections with people or whatever, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, and I may have said I was more talkative and social, but I also realized when I got sober that I was also a little passive aggressive.
Oh, for sure. It would
and
bring
aggressive,
out...
aggressive occasionally.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd say things that I didn't really mean.
Yeah.
Or be mean, but I didn't really mean to be mean.
Yeah.
Just because I had a couple of drinks in me. Like, enough with that.
Yeah.
Be who you... Yeah.
And what a safe place to be, because you never have to look at the anger or what it's trying to tell you.
She didn't mean it.
She's been drinking.
Yeah, it was just the wine
talking. And you can be like, I'm sorry, it was just the wine, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't play that out anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And then with food, what do you think your story was?
Well, because, like, my story was, because I was on the road and I was working so hard, I used it as a reward. Like, I earned this.
Reward, yes, yes, yes.
So I earned the drive-through and I snuck the candy. That was my shtick.
Yeah. Right? There was like shame there.
Shame. Yeah. Because every Monday you start a new diet.
You're right.
Right? And then by noon it's shot. And then it's shame again. Well, I mm-hmm. can't start today. It's not the first of the month. There's always 100 rationalizations. So now I have no cheat days.
Yeah.
There's no cheat day.
Yeah.
It's either I'm in or I'm out.
Yeah. Like, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very diligent. Like, I'm almost kind of scared. I've actually gotten...
What's your fear?
So I'm afraid I'm going to get fat again.
Yeah.
So sometimes I find myself not eating now when I should be eating for fear. So I'm working through that now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's... If you've got any sort of, like, addictive tendencies...
Sure.
There, we don't hang out in the middle ground too often. We're definitely people like of extremes.
All in or on the sofa.
Yeah.
That's me, typically.
Yeah, yeah. And finding moderation and balance, that takes work.
Oh, my God.
For some people, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, that just is what it is. And we're like, and I'm like, no, I consciously have to be like.
And when I drink, I used to get what I call, can I swear on this podcast?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I got a case of what I call the fuck it's.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay, you're over, you're having a drink. And, oh, let's get some, we should get some appetizers. Okay, fuck it. Like, you're supposed to be on the diet or losing weight, but you get a case of the fuck it. So, okay, let's have some charcuterie. Let's eat our body weight in cheese. Let's have the chips. Let's have that, right?
Yeah.
So my own attitude was, okay, fuck it. Like,
yeah.
And so now I realize I can't do that. If you're a sugar and a carbohydrate addict, which I am, and you have to acknowledge that in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Then lay off the shit. And get real about it.
There is a rehab program in Toronto.
Right.
For sugar.
Sure.
And it's, yeah, drugs, alcohol.
When you're overweight, sugar. You look at all that stuff. I thought about having gastric and I could afford it.
Yeah.
I thought about going to a fat camp. I thought about this. I thought about that. I thought about getting a tummy. Like, until I got really honest about what I was actually putting in my mouth, I never lost a pound.
Yeah.
And now I'm really honest about what I put in my mouth. And yeah. When I quit drinking, it was a double-edged sword too, because like I don't quit drinking because I had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
I quit drinking because I had a goal that I want to succeed.
Oh yeah.
And I come from a long line of very functioning, healthy alcoholics, yeah. Right? So alcohol wasn't the issue per se, but it was a symptom of something else.
Yes.
Right? And then at first it was hard because people who expected me to be fun and outgoing with alcohol all of a sudden didn't have that girl. Right? And they weren't really sure what to do with me.
Yes.
There had to be some honest conversations with my peer group.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. How did those go?
Good. A couple of not as well, right? A couple of people were just like, and said to my face, you're just not as fun as you used to be.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't be your funny fat friend anymore.
Yeah.
This is the new me, bitch.
Yeah.
Jealousy's a disease. Get well soon.
Get well soon. Yeah. And you know what? I think a lot of it is, I mean, my experience anyway, maybe you've had the same experience. A lot of it is like your healthy choices accidentally hold up a mirror to other people's choices.
Yeah, I don't want
to
do that.
Like, no, you don't do that. No. That's what I'm saying. It's not, but you existing the way that you exist now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. That's just the way it fucking is. Other people at the table will all say, oh, I should have got club soda. Or I really want to stop drinking. Like, or I'll be dry in January. Or I'll be dry. Like, and I'm like, okay. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right? I'll give you all a ride home.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, boo.
Yes. Like, this is not your intervention. Don't worry. I'm like literally just out having dinner with my girlfriends. Just, you're good. Whatever. You're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a therapist? Yeah. But that's what I mean is like, it just, people's brains just go there. And they're like, you know, the overweight people, the over drinkers, whatever. And they're like, well, what's Christine doing? Does that mean I have to do it too? I need to be thinking about my own shit? And it's like, well, if you're having that conversation in your head, like probably, like you should probably go there to those dark.
Yeah, I'm not a role model.
Crevices, but you are.
Not for this health piece. It's only mine. It's the only thing I accept as being totally responsible for that only belongs to me.
Yes.
Right? Business is separate. Health for me is very personal, and I only take responsibility for myself.
Totally.
Yes.
At the same time, you are a role model. Too bad. Sorry. You didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it, right? You're literally just doing your life.
Yeah.
And you're becoming happier, and you're talking about things like ego and your self-perception and your self-awareness and doing the hard work and blah, blah, blah. People pay attention to that shit. So you're a role model now. So congratulations. Clap, clap, clap. But no, I understand that idea of just being like, I just want to do me, especially if there's like a nagging thing of like, I'm so scared of failing in some way.
Yeah.
Then you have an audience for it. And like, that's not
being overweight is the last discrimination, right?
Yeah. Right. Oh, 100%.
It's the one thing that people feel they can actually comment on.
Oh my God. Right? Yes.
Like, oh my God, you have such a pretty face. You'd be so beautiful. You lost a little weight. It's the only thing people feel like they can actually make a comment about.
100%.
Like, anybody who's had a weight issue always can remember the negative thing that their parent or partner or somebody in their life has said to them.
Yeah.
Like how many, you know, I can remember Thanksgivings. And having a family member saying, do you really need that much?
No.
Sure. And that's all you remember from the day.
Yeah.
So like, I am an addictive personality. I've had addictions to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Over the years. Some more serious than others.
Yeah.
Right. But for me, sugar and carbohydrates have been my biggest addiction for my entire life. It's followed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure, I don't want to diagnose, but I'm pretty sure my dad had a sugar addiction growing up. And I didn't realize that until like way later once I got into this industry and realized it was a thing. But fuck, that man was moody, moody as shit. Mm-hmm. And like he would literally go out in the middle of the night and get like a dozen donuts.
Right.
and just like crush them.
Yeah. My height, I was probably drinking 6 or 7 cans of Diet Coke a day.
Damn.
Washing that down with some Red Bull.
Yeah.
I got to go do a show.
Yeah.
Eating a Kit Kat on the way home because I got to be awake for the drive. So it was always up, down, up, down all the time. Right. Yeah.
You never suspect the extroverted, seemingly extroverted that girl's people.
Got everything going on.
She's got, good.
She's good. Oh my
she's
God.
She's cheerful.
We all love her.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I go home and I'm down in Kit Kats and crap, right? So yeah, so it's been 16, 17 months.
Yeah.
And I'm very conscious of what I eat. And I'm very, very thankful for medical intervention.
Yeah.
I trusted my doctor. We have a very strict program. I get a lot of testing. I am not a poster child for any semi-glutides. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody asks me, how'd you lose 100 pounds?
Yeah.
Well, yes, diet and exercise. But
yes.
Listen, did I have a little medical intervention? Sure, I'm not going to lie about that.
No, fuck no. You but don't have to. Guilt. It's 2024.
There's even guilt around that.
I know there is.
There's shame around that. Some people won't say that they're taking anything, like an Ozempic or Wegovy or a Mounjaro.
Yeah.
Because they're, oh, well, you cheated. You took the easy way. No, I didn't, bitch.
Yeah. You're like, I'm literally still walking and like fucking eating vegetables every day.
Every day.
Shut the fuck up. Also, Botox, fillers, tummy tucks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 20 goddamn 24.
I get
like,
whatever it I just. Want. It's my damn money. I'll tell you a funny story. Once.
Exactly.
When I first got divorced from my first husband, I went downtown in this little town that I was living in, and they had this beautiful red fur faux coat. And I was working a lot in Toronto then, but living in this little village here in Bruce County, I won't name which one. And I went into the store. And I said to the sales lady, oh, my God, that coat is so city. I have to have that coat. She goes, oh, no, Christine, don't buy that coat. People are already talking about you.
Shut like, the fuck up. What I is said, this, like a fucking Pretty Woman situation?
Yeah,
get out of here.
People are already gossiping about you've left your husband and you're dating around. And did it. I said, no, I'll take that coat because I want them to see me coming and a going.
Yeah, fuck her.
Yeah, here's my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So over
she was
the
really trying to protect me. She really thought she was trying to protect me from a small town mentality.
There is nothing that triggers me more than someone trying to save me from myself. Like where I have made a decision and some fucking Joe Schmo comes in and is like, oh, you don't want to do that. Like, is my head filled with air? Like, I know I'm blonde and I, like, look like an idiot, but, like, I'm not as dumb as I look at the fuck out of here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's... Yeah.
Especially if it's mansplaining.
Oh, my shit. I have some, like, deep inner work to do about that because it came up again this week. And my partner's like, why are you, like, so affected by that? And I'm like, yeah, I gotta whip out the journal or call my therapist. Between losing Car Lady and now you've lost weight and you've adjusted your relationship with food, with alcohol, and now you're leaving the chamber.
Yeah.
Who are you now?
I am free for the first time in my life.
God damn. That's a great answer.
I am free to do whatever I want, say whatever I please. And I am free to live in this body that I created for health. Not for vanity, for health. Not for ego, for health. I can see me running for office at some point.
Oh, I could totally see that also.
I don't know. I have the freedom. I'm finally free. Sadly, my mother passed away a couple years ago. And I took care of her in one capacity or another, either financially or physically, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I don't have that now. And that's been a huge loss and a lot to get over. But I'm free now. I'm free to keep just the memory part.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm free to do whatever. If I want to go for a walk or not, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you look back on Christine from...
The Car Lady.
Car Lady, and even Christine from 16 months ago.
Yep.
With love?
That's a great... With love, that's an interesting word.
I know.
Not the one I would have chose.
That's what I mean.
Right?
With love.
I almost look at her with more compassion.
Yeah.
That girl was exhausted.
That's love.
Yeah. But at the same time, I kind of really admire that girl.
She sounds like a bad bitch.
Because that girl wasn't taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I have some admiration for her, but I also have a little sadness for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she really was painting herself into a corner, and she really was working herself into a heart attack.
Yeah.
And really not doing the work to say, who are you if you don't have this? If you're not making money and dancing as fast as you can and running with scissors, who are you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Same with you calling yourself the funny fat friend.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not the you're not the funny fat friend anymore.
Yeah.
Who are you then? Yeah. Your body is completely different. Mm-hmm. Your day-to-day routine is completely different, right? So then it's like you. But I think that's just evolution, is like these strips of you, like a snake shedding its skin. You shed this layer mm-hmm. of yourself and you become something else.
You know the number one question I've gotten about this journey, but other than how'd you do it?
What?
How does your husband feel about it? Everybody wants to know how my husband feels about it.
That literally never entered my mind. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
How does that question make you feel?
I don't feel anything about it. I usually just answer it with, if you knew my husband, you wouldn't ask me that question.
Yes. It makes right? this assumption.
My husband said nothing when I gained it. Yeah. He said nothing when I lost it.
Yeah.
My husband doesn't value me based on what my gene size is.
Yeah.
Right? I have the best husband in the world, though.
I know you love your husband. Yes. I know you do. Yeah.
I have the best husband in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, so that's, how did you do it? And people will message me on Facebook, right? And I'm not your doctor. And I'm not a cheerleader for whatever I did. Like, you know what I mean? So do you boo. Like, I always tell people, just phone your doctor.
Call your doctor.
Call your doctor. I can't. And there's places that'll help you, right? There's other companies that'll help you and whatever your journey needs to be, but... how's your husband feel? I don't know. I didn't ask his permission.
Yeah, they should ask him. You know what I mean? Like, be like, what a fucking dumbass, like, archaic question.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number one question. The most popular question I've gotten is, how's your husband feel? What's your husband say?
Oh, my God.
He didn't say nothing. He said nothing when I gained it. He said nothing when I lost it. Because right? I wasn't always as big, right? I was skating around a 12, 14.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and then it was 16, and then it was 18, and then it was size 20.
Right, 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 right.
And that's when I couldn't get home from the beach anymore.
I mean, right? Listen, that hill is murder.
Yeah.
The one on Green Street?
Yeah.
Danger
now
city.
Now I go up that hill like a goat.
Good for you. I'm so happy for you.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. But just, I mean, I met you almost 2 years ago.
That's right.
And even seeing you transition from who you were 2 years ago to a year ago to now, your life is completely fucking different. Yeah. It's about to be completely different.
You and I had some frank and honest conversations.
Yeah.
Because... I wanted to share with you that that you should know someone like me, because I know who you are.
Yeah. Right?
We both had addiction in our past. We both have had, right? Just because you think I'm the sparkle fish, I felt like it was fair and safe to share with you who I really was.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You give off that vibe for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I told things to you that I probably haven't even told some closest friends, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those, honestly, Christine, are the words I probably hear the most in my life.
Oh, good for you.
It's, I never want that to change
right.
ever. Yeah. Like yeah. I'm just full of other people's honesty, and that's, I think, a beautiful quality to have. But, moving forward in your life, I hope that you're, massive transitions are on pause for a bit.
Yeah.
And that you can just kind of enjoy.
Like the next couple of years, I just need to do me.
Yeah. And just kind of like ride this wave that like you've created.
I've said, that's it. I'm not working in the summer anymore.
Yeah.
When I look in the mirror sometimes, I'm like, is that you?
Yeah.
I don't recognize myself just yet. Right. I do my face and my smile and my hair.
Yeah.
But not my body. But I'm not critical of it anymore, which is a nice thing. Yeah.
Do you, I'm just trying to piece together a question, because you are a woman
mm-hmm.
that has a business that is stereotypically not common for women.
Right. Well, I named it, the car lady is not an accident. It's a marketing plan.
Oh, I can
yeah.
see that.
And the pink, like the car lady, every car lady, and I have two employees that work for me, right? We wear pink tops and black skirts. And the reason for that is because A, I look super great in pink.
Yeah.
And B, is because no dealership has that as their signature color. if you wore blue, everybody would think that was associated with Subaru. If you wore red, everybody would think that was associated with Toyota and Honda. If you wore black, everybody would associate that with Cadillac. I wore pink because there's no car manufacturer that carries that color.
There is not?
No. And so the car lady was born from everywhere I would go. Somebody would say, hey, there's that car lady. And the femaleness is what built the brand.
Yeah. Okay, let's shamelessly plug your business.
All right.
Where can we find you? What can we expect from the car lady?
And... Yeah. So you can find me at thecarlady.ca.
Yes.
And don't look today because that's the old me.
Don't go today. Yeah.
And the car lady can be found on Instagram and Facebook. I don't do Twitter. It's too mean. So you can find me on there. And if you have an automotive related question, just ask me. I'm here to help you.
I have a random question. I have just over 7 left in my financing on
7 months.
Okay.
Oh, you're on a lease? Oh, 7,000.
7,000 left. 7K, I financed it 0 down.
Okay.
If I come into a bunch of money, should I pay off my car loan?
Not at 0% interest.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because if you put in an investment, you'll probably make 5 or 6% on the money. Why would you lose that capital, put it in a nest egg, and continue to pay down?
Okay.
If you're getting 0% interest.
I am.
Now, if your car loan is 5% and you're only going to make 5% on the money, then get rid of debt. Because that's a depreciating asset.
Yeah.
But if you're paying 0%.
Yeah, zero.
And you're going to take that lump sum of money, take the 7 grand instead, put it in a bond or a GIC, you'd make 6.5% in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't pay the car off. It's a depreciating asset.
Yes.
But you bought right car. I noticed your Hyundai when I came in.
Yeah.
Because Hyundai's a great car because it comes with 5 years worth of warranty.
Amazing.
Right?
Hyundai I'm sure Kia. That was explained to me at some point. And I was like, yeah, cool, great, bye. I love this so
I'm just
much.
Like the month steward of car tips up here.
Oh my God, yes! That should be your catchphrase. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I want everybody to know it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
And also what I think I love the most about your story is don't be afraid to look into the darkness and see what you need to let go of.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Wait. Food, jobs, people, whatever.
And you don't
whatever.
Have to do it all at once 100%. Say, for example, you could just stop snacking after 7 p.m. for one day. Could you just do it for one day?
Right.
Like if it is really is one day at a time.
Yes.
Right?
Love that.
Hour at a time.
Yeah.
What am I doing to now in this hour that's serving me well?
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You just got to string a bunch of those together.
Yeah.
Because the time will go quick. My most, like I said earlier, my most valuable resource is time. How I spend it, who I spend it with, what I spend it doing. I can't. That's the only thing I can't buy myself.
Yeah.
Time. There we go.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you back. Again.
Love you.
I love you. Did you guys love that? Isn't that so great? She's so cool. Man, she's so cool. I will tag her business in the episode description. If you are a woman and you don't want to feel dumb or small, if you fit into the longstanding stereotype that women just don't know a lot about cars, like I very much fit into that, give her a shout. Send her a DM. She's super fun to talk to and so helpful and just so warm and open. So big thank you to Christine and a big, big, big congratulations on entering the next phase of her life. Really, this woman truly embodies what it means to live your best life. And I am so excited to witness all of this next phase through Instagram and text because I literally rarely see her because I don't see anybody except 5 people. So I hope you guys have a great couple of few weeks until we meet again. Bit of a sidebar. I also appeared on a podcast called Small Town Big Dreams. More on that and I will post details about that on Instagram. So if you don't follow me yet, follow me now. Recovering from everything _Kinga. And again, if you are a woman who needs help with her drinking, you can reach out to me. I might have a couple of solutions for you. Okay, I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon.